Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's just occurred to me as I was reading through my notes this morning, you know, on Thunderbirds where there's that countdown, 5, 4. Well, there's a countdown going for me. Most of you will know, I guess, Ali and I have felt our season here is coming to an end and we're wrapping up September. And I've just worked out, this is my fifth from final, no one cheer at this because fifth from final sermon. I worked out, I've preached several hundred. There's been laughter. There's been tears. Hopefully God said something in there somewhere. And I'm finding at the moment, just these kind of little moments of closure. So anyway, I don't know why I shared that really, but that's just where Ali and I are at. But I do feel this about the talk this morning, that it is kind of something of fruition of over a decade of us as leaders and various ones of us kind of wrestling, Lord, you know, what does the church per se need to look like? What's the journey you've got us on? So this whole thing of missional discipleship, I just really encourage you during this season and as we go forward, just, you know, receive this, consider prayerfully. Try not to react to some of the words there. I know one or two folks, because they've said, you know, what's this missional? Why are we talking about missional? Well, really, it's a call to discipleship. All we're saying by missional is we're reminding ourselves that this is not our home, that we are sent here. The word mission from Latin, missio, means sent. The Greek for sent is apostello, okay, from which we get apostolic. So we are part of God's apostolic church. We are sent to the world. This isn't our home. We're on a journey. And it's really important we maintain that sense of sentness. So this is just a reminder that in our discipleship, it's not just about us and our relationship with Jesus. It's about, well, how does that relationship with Jesus and learning about him and getting to know him, what does that look like in our lives as we seek to reach out to the world and see transformation, okay? So this call to missional discipleship is right at the heart, I think, of decades of us praying and thinking. And, you know, hopefully it's familiar language because we have been trying to bang on about it. So like I say, just I encourage you to receive this prayerfully. Lord, I pray even as I speak, I pray this wouldn't just be words. I really, really ask. I pray, God, let our hearts be good soil. Let nothing in us now react. But let us be willing to receive the seeds of your word, whatever there is in this for us this morning, that your word would grow in us and bear good fruit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we go. So, the colour's not particularly brilliant on this, but so this is a reminder, really, of how we're sent, why we're sent. This is Jesus sending the 70 or 72. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What I don't think this means is this. So there's a premise here that there is a plentiful harvest. Jesus can't be meaning at particular times there's a harvest. He must be saying, he can't just be meaning in ancient Israel. He must be meaning there's always a plentiful harvest. There's always a plentiful harvest. The issue is the workers are few. And I don't think Jesus is saying there solely, he might be partly saying this, but he's not solely saying this, we need more pastors. We need more missionaries. Surely he's not saying that. Why? Because we're the workers. So the issue probably is this. There are workers, It's just they're not working. They're not out in the harvest field. This resonate with anyone? I just know. In my life as a Christian, there have been times when I've been oh so tepid about reaching out to lost people. So what Jesus is praying here, to paraphrase, pray then that the Lord of the harvest will give the workers a kick up the backside. I think we could substantiate that from the Greek. I'm making that up, by the way. And encourage them to connect, get out there, reach out, understand we're sent. There's a lost world, brothers and sisters. We have the good news it needs. And we have to convey it as best we can, both what it is and also in a way that is healthy and fruitful. So let's ask the Lord, Lord, this morning, stir us up. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. There's a focus there, isn't there? When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's really interesting. Jesus goes, just go and heal people. Yeah? That challenges me. I mean, I'll pray for healing, but Lord, there's something about the miraculous and signs and wonders. It brought breakthrough. Let's step out into that. Let's have a go. Come on. This seems to be what Jesus is saying anyway. Let's do it. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I did have a sense, just as I read that this morning, I really appreciated Roy's insight a few weeks back regarding this shaking off the dust as you move to another town. And what Roy said was this, you're shaking off rejection. You're shaking off rejection. And I just feel for some of us this morning here, there's rejection somewhere. I'm not saying it's necessarily in terms of relating the gospel, but there's rejection. The Lord's encouragement to you is shake it off and move on. Shake it off and move on, okay? Lord, I just pray you'd be doing that. I pray even now you'd release someone from that spirit of rejection. Okay. So that's an encouragement. We're going to refer to that. I'm not going to preach out of it. We're going to refer to that. So I want to speak this morning then about belonging. Belonging. Now, we may think, well, hang on a minute. We've just said about reaching out, and now we're talking about kind of what could be seen as a bit insular, belonging. But I think this is key to how we are to be as church and how we're to do mission, what mission may look like. Belonging. Do you want to belong somewhere? Do you feel you do belong? It's when we find our place, isn't it? That place of security and welcome. Someone said it's significant, perhaps loving. Connection, where we just know we're accepted even as we are. Ian said about, and it was such a good word, it was Georgina had it this morning when she shared it in the prayer meeting. It just came as such an invitation to the Father's table where you are welcome. And Ian prayed, didn't he? You don't need to get dressed up. You don't need to, you know, come perfectly, because there's a place, a welcome where you can know you belong. At the Father's table. And we need and want this. We need it, don't we, to flourish and grow as humans, never mind as Christians. Just as humans, we need the things there on the word cloud. So you'll be pleased to know this morning, I've only got three things to say. Three. However, I am going to take my time allocation to say them. The first thing I want to say is this. Belonging is at the heart of the kingdom. When we see the kingdom come on earth, I don't mean in that day, I mean at any point in life when we see the kingdom coming, we will see belonging happening. When God moves, when his spirit comes, people will feel they belong. It's a work of the spirit. Someone's described the Spirit as the love amongst the Father and Son. And when the Spirit comes, when God's moving, people start to feel they belong. They discover a Father who's for them and loves them. They discover a brother who's right alongside them in trials. So belonging is at the heart of the kingdom. And a primary element for us, both naturally but also spiritually in this, is a sense of family. It's key to us belonging naturally and spiritually. On Father's Day, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 3. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." It is in the Father that we derive our identity. And I have an utter conviction that too many of us, as Christians, we go through our Christian life operating out of a sense of duty, like the older brother. All my life I've been striving. Does that describe your Christian life? You've been striving. It's been hard work. You've been faithful, but it's duty. And Paul says, no, we receive our identity in the fatherhood of God, the love of the Father. That's why he goes on to say, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ the Son may dwell in your hearts through faith." It's like somehow we're invited into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Trinitarian relationships, and we're invited into them. And we become part of somebody. It's been talked about, there's a Trinitarian dance. It's called the perichoresis, the dance around of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit throughout history. And we're invited into that dance, that loving dance, that loving relationship that the Father, Son, and Spirit have. It's to permeate our togetherness as believers. So he says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp." Listen, brother, sister, just as I'm reading these words, ask yourself, does this resonate? I don't mean here, by the way. His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. His Spirit testifies here that we're children of God. It's not cerebral, "I know God loves me." It's, "I know God loves me." Do we grasp, do I grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? And to know this love that surpasses cerebral knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's something about the fullness of God, the love of God, that brings about the fullness we're to have in God. Life in all its fullness is not jumping out of aeroplanes, doing parachute jumping in extreme sport. It's knowing the love of God. And then we're full to overflowing, actually. That's what it's to be. The Spirit is to fill us and overflow out of us with the love of God. That's what we're to take to the world. If we don't take that to the world, I think we have little to offer. If we cannot share the love of God overflowing out of us with broken, hurting people, so that when we tell them that God loves them, they believe it. One of the most precious prophetic words I've ever had was, I preached on the fatherhood of God. If I felt there was a life message, something God's revealed to me out of my brokenness, it is the love of the Father. And somebody gave me a word, I preached on that, and somebody gave me a word once, and they said, "You're going to preach the love of the Father, and people are going to believe it." I don't think I've seen it enough. I want to see men and women coming to know. Listen, I want to see broken LGBTQ community coming and knowing that the Father loves them. I want to see the homeless. I want to see the abused brought to healing by the love of the Father. And we carry that. I want to pray for us. Why don't we just, you might want to put your hands out in front of you. Let's just pray. God, I just pray that you would fill us now, hallelujah, with your love. We wait on you. We pray that your Spirit would testify right now in this room, right now, right now. Not cerebrally, but a witness of the Spirit testifying, witnessing to our spirit that we're children of God. I pray no one in this room right now would not know they're loved by you. That we're invited to the feast. Come on. That we're invited to the feast and the lavish celebration with our Heavenly Father, who's just so full of joy. He's so full of pleasure in us. He takes such pleasure. I break off now lies of the enemy off brothers and sisters who do not believe that God the Father takes pleasure in them. I come against legalism and striving, Lord, put on them by parents or teachers who say you're not quite up to the mark, a bit more, improve that grade. And God, I just pray, would you minister, Lord, your pleasure in every creation here this morning, just as we are. Just as we are. Yeah. May we rest with your yoke upon us. Ha. No more striving. More of you, Lord. More of your love. Lord, if we leave this place with nothing else having happened, and we know we're loved by our Father in heaven, that's enough, Lord. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. That was Jesus' goal, to bring us to the Father. And Philip said, and I just encourage you, make this your prayer, not just this morning, but make this your prayer. It's always resonated for me. Philip turns around and says, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. We're not called to build big churches. We're not called to have wonderful ministries. We're not called to preach good sermons. We're not called to earn and buy big houses, good though those things may be. We're called to know the Father, and that will be enough for us. That will be enough for us. Do you know, this was, I don't know quite what to do here, but I'm going to vaguely carry on. Do you know, this was different, folks. This was different in the ancient world. This teaching was different. The other religious teachers and philosophers, they didn't preach a gospel. They didn't preach a message that whoever the God was loved them. This is distinctive. It's distinctive. The feel of it is distinctive in our day and age. I don't think the other faiths preach this in the same way. That there's a personal God who longs to know men and women. Other faiths may talk about the love of their God, but he's not intimate in the way our God is. He doesn't connect. There's not a way to him or the way to him is by what we do. I just wonder whether I'm speaking to someone here. You've never understood the Christian message. This is the Christian message. You don't have to earn your way to the Father. He came in Jesus Christ, knowing we were broken, knowing we were wrapped up in everything we'd done wrong, all our mess. We just stuff up. And he died for us on a cross. That faith in him, what he's done, provides access to this loving Father. And so coming back to this theme of family, we're not a social club, are we? We're not. Please, please, don't stop short here. Although let's be sociable. Let's be friendly, for goodness sake. But let's not stop there. If that's why we connect here, because we've got friends here and we relate well, great. But don't stop there. Yeah. And this isn't about classes for our well-being and good teachings and how-tos. Again, good, there's wisdom in Scripture. The gospel came that family might be formed, that we might be family. So we have to be that. So in the time I've got left, I want to talk about belonging and how we belong. And I want to say this firstly, we belong differently in different spaces. And I'm going to draw on a framework by a guy, Joseph Myers here, who spoke about different belonging spaces. I don't entirely know I've got liberty to continue, to be honest. Part of me feels maybe we should just stay in this place. Long and the short of it, there's a book by a guy called Joseph Myers about belonging. And he talks about different ways we belong, intimately, you know, personally with a wider group, and then social spaces, and then public spaces like this, big groups. But I just wonder whether we shouldn't, this morning, rather than speak about belonging, is ask the Lord, the Father, to come and form family, that we might know by his Spirit that we do belong. I'm going to ask the band, why don't you come back up? Right, we're just gonna stay before the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's a cracking sermon though, it is, it, honestly, it's a really, it is, but I just, I'm not sure there's liberty, honestly, I just don't think I've got liberty to continue, and I want us, I don't know whether we can do this, let's worship, let's stay seated initially, and I just encourage you, continue to receive, continue to ask his Spirit, to witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Just let your prayer be, as we wait on the Lord, show me the Father, and that will be enough for me. We're going to do that. We're just going to spend some time worshiping. If you feel you want to pray for someone, just minister to someone. If you feel you don't belong, say that to the person next to you and just say, will you pray for me? Well, you may just want to pray for someone anyway. We'll take the prophetic. We'll see where we go prophetically, but let's just initially just spend time before the Lord, okay? Thank you. The Father says, I'm looking out the window down the road. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Looking out the window down the road. Will you come home? Will you come home? Is that I see you? Do I see you? Is that you? On the road, can I see you? Is that you? Is that you? Away in the distance, you've been gone such a long, long time. Such a long, long time, my church. Such a long, long time, my family. Such a long, long time. And now I'm gonna run to you. I'm gonna run to you. Run down the road. I'll come running. I'm gonna run to you. I'm gonna run to you. I'll come running down the road. It really doesn't matter what you're wearing. It really doesn't matter where you've been. It really doesn't matter what you look like. It really doesn't matter how you smell. It really doesn't matter who you've been with. It really doesn't matter where you've been. 'Cause I'll come running. My heart's come running to you. And I'll wrap strong arms around you. I'm gonna wrap strong arms around you. I'm so for you. I'm so for you. Will you receive my love? Will you receive my love? Will you receive my love? Just as you are, just as you are. So no more striving, no more human strength. You've got so burned out, you feel so tired. Let me wrap my strong arms around you. Let me wrap strong arms around you and hold you tight. We'll feed you up. We'll clean you up. You'll know you're my child again, my son, my daughter. Ah. Come and enjoy the feast. Ha ha ha. Come and enjoy the feast. Come and enjoy the feast. Ah. Oh, the table's spread. The table's spread. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to pray for an anointing in this place to invite people to the feast, to go out to the highways and byways, full of the love of the Father, knowing we're loved, knowing we're welcome, knowing there's wonderful food and lovely drink, Lord God. And we can just invite others in. Lord, we're not inviting them to a meeting. We're not inviting them to a church or to membership. We're inviting them to the Father's table for a feast and celebration. I just want to pray for anointing now. I just want you to raise your hand if you have a heart to be one of the workers, to go out into the harvest field, to reach out. It's not saying you've not been trying, but you know you've got a heart to reach the lost and invite them to the table. And you can do this. You can invite them to a feast. You can invite them to a celebration. You can invite them into the Father's home and relationship with Him. You may not want to invite them to church, as it were. And this, we are church, by the way. You may not want them to invite them to a religion and austere Christianity or legalistic, institutional church, but you'll invite them into a relationship. I just want to encourage you, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? In one sense, it should be all of us, shouldn't it? But I just sense some of us particularly just have this heart this morning. I'm going to ask Ian to pray for him. Ian's an evangelist, and I'm going to pray that we'll have that good newsing. That's what an evangelist is. The word means good news. I'm going to pray that we'll have that good newsing anointing to take good news. God, I pray, let us be good news. Ian, would you just pray into that for us? Cheers, mate. Just receive.
Father, you've not just called us to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news, but you've called us to be the good news. So, Father, anoint us with that. Anoint us with the good news. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Fill us that we invite people to the feast. That they get filled with joy because they're loved. Because they're forgiven. So come, Father God. Increase and pour out your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Revive our hearts so that we are the good news, carriers of your presence. And we'll see the good news of Jesus, change your families. Change your communities. Change your town. Change your nation. Change the world. So, Lord, that's what we pray for, anointing. We thank you that we are blessed, but, Lord, we pray for an increase of anointing to proclaim the good news, to be the good news. So come, Lord. You know our hearts.
I'll just pray for a few people who've got their hands up that I just feel have an anointing to reach the lost in different ways. I just want to pray for Sue Jung. And those of you sat next to Sue Jung? And it's just this, I just sense this winsome spirit you have to just love people into the kingdom. So can we pray for Sue Jung? I'd love to pray for Helen Douse. I just think Helen is fearless with the broken and just such a heart. Let us pray for Georgina. I just think Georgina's got a heart that is able to connect things and make things happen. I'd love us to pray for Roy. I just think we should pray for Roy, Hugo, and folks there. If you just lay hands on Roy, just pray. Just a level of good newsing he is able to do. Just pray for refreshing. Lay hands on Roy. That'd be great. Ian Coburn, this may surprise you. I just sense for you, Ian, there's just you just have an anointing to reach the lost through service. Just so practical. You know, it may not be words, it may not be platform. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. Yeah, just let us pray for Carmelita, just around, I think it's around raising up others. It's around raising up, training, equipping others to be good news people. So maybe we could just keep praying for those folks for a minute or two. Lord, I pray, increase anointing. Pray for Neville and Brenda, anointing to reach seniors, just a growing section of society. Just could some folks pray for Neville and Brenda and just lay hands on them. He will renew your youth like the eagles. There you go. Lord, I pray. Pray for Karen at the back there, just anointing to reach whole communities, to put things together and join things together to reach whole communities. Lord, I pray, let there be breakthrough and breakout among us. Let us hear stories of just connections being made, the lost being reached, the broken being reached. Could someone pray for Alf, just in shepherding and counseling, healing, bringing wholeness into situations like that. Lord God, I pray, just let your increase, your anointing increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. Shula Bakasan. Shula Bakasan. More of you, Lord. More of you. Do you know, I just have a sense I could keep going on in this room. That's what I've just realized. Okay. There's Mark Mansell connecting with the prisons and the law as an instrument for setting captives free. I could just keep going. What that says to me is this: there is dynamite in this room. There is dunamis, Holy Spirit, the power of God. The Greek word is dunamis. There is power. And the sense I have, brothers and sisters, is we need to step into that. We need to release it. We need to be in faith. We need to put things together. We need to connect things and just step out. Lord, I pray, break off fear in this place, Lord. Shatter reluctance, shatter fear. And Lord, let us be a people not only that know we're carrying the good news, but step into broken places full of hope, full of boldness. Let the room where they were praying be shaken, and let them proclaim it with power, signs, and wonders. God, I pray. God, I pray. Listen, whatever it is you've got.
I just have a thought. Thanks for the prayer, thanks for everything. But in 1 Samuel 9, Saul is unaware that he's anointed to be king. And he's chasing donkeys. And he's been chasing donkeys for 3 days, unaware that he's to be king. And so he asks if the seer is in town and Samuel's in town. And Samuel's been told 3 days before that he is to anoint Saul to be king. And Saul and his servant go and find Samuel. And he says, we're going to have a feast. And then he anoints him to be king. And he says, now people have started worrying about you and not the donkeys. And I think there's people here that are chasing donkeys, not realizing that you've been anointed to be good news people. Because we're all in this. I know certain names have been mentioned, but we're all in this. So my word to you is don't chase the donkeys. And there are loads of donkeys to chase. Even legitimate donkeys. But it's not the main thing. And I think what Paul has said is, in the love of God, you refocus to the main thing. So if you've been chasing donkeys, please don't waste your life chasing donkeys. Allow the anointing to be the anointing. And if that's to make a brilliant cup of tea, then do it to the glory of God. Whatever it is, but don't chase the donkeys anymore.
Point. Listen, I'm going to ask the prayer ministry team to come down the front. At any point, come forward. If you just feel you've been chasing donkeys, sounds like it's something about, maybe it's priorities, it's certainly not having the main thing. At any point, about anything, come forward. Our prayer ministry team would love to just minister to you. We're going to just keep worshiping and be open and see where the Lord leads us, okay?